and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been studying about the church, and in particular, playing church. There are some today here just playing church, and this is something that you and I, as the children of God, we should never do. It's something that is serious. It's something that God has given us, that we have the privilege of His children, of joining ourselves together with each other and helping each other grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, building each other up in the faith. You know, the Bible tells us that the church was so important to Christ. He said in Matthew 16:18, He said, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, Jesus, once again, was not telling Peter that he was the rock that the church was going to be built upon. He was speaking of himself. Jesus is that rock. He is the one. He's the one who is stable. He is the one who came and gave his life for us that the church could be built. He's the one who died. He's the one who went to the grave. He's the one who rose from the grave. And he's the one in heaven right now. And he said that he would build his church. Well, the church is being built. We see that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We are part of his church. But now the visible church that we see, these people are part of the church who gathers themselves together in the place of worship. And those people are those who are saved. Now, it's sure that there are people who are in churches, local churches, who are not saved. But those people who are saved in a local church, they are members of the body of Christ. And that's his church. He's building his church. We are the bride of Christ. And one day he's coming back for us. And I do not want to be ashamed at his appearing. And I'm sure that rather than being ashamed, I'm going to be very happy to see the Lord. In fact, the Bible tells us that that we are to look for His coming, and there's a crown of righteousness, a crown of many crowns that we can receive. And one of those crowns is to love His appearing. And how can I be sad when the Lord comes back? There is no way that I will be sad, because He's coming back for me. And I love his appearing. I love the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back for me personally. Whether the breath of life leaves my body or he comes back and says, "Come up hither," I'm going to be with him. And I'm not going to look as though I am going to be ashamed. I'm going to be happy in the Lord. I'm going to be one that I'm going to glory once again in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he said again in Matthew 16:18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," that's Jesus, "upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, we need to honor our Lord and Savior. And one way that we honor our Lord and Savior, it says in Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together," speaking to saved people, "as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I believe that we are, as we look for the Lord, the day is approaching, and we need to gather ourselves together unto the Lord in the place that he's provided for us, and that is the local church. And we've looked at some things here about playing church, and those churches who do not magnify the Word of God, they're just playing church. And to be carnally minded, in other words, doing the things of the flesh instead of doing the things of God, getting together just to have a good time, playing games or whatever, that's to be carnally minded, and that's just playing church. And building worshipers, we talked about that, how that people look at their church building and they look at how beautiful they are and they say, well, look what we have, and they start worshiping the things instead of worshiping the Lord. And also they may look at someone and actually they look at someone and they say that person is such one that they look up to. Someone. Now, there's nothing wrong with having someone that has helped you along and helped you to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with you respecting that individual. But we should never hold any individual up, no matter who they are, what they look like, or where they come from, or even what they've done for us. We should not hold them above the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, building worshipers are just playing church, and the church that does not magnify prayer, well, that church is just playing church. Once again, the word church means a called-out assembly. And so any group that meets together can actually be called a church, but there is such a thing as the church that worships God. I'm speaking of Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches where the Word of God is taught. Now, something else. The church that does not magnify prayer is playing church. And we talked about this, how that churches should be a place where we can come to and we can pray together. And not only that, but as individuals who are members of a local church, we are to be able to pray on our own. Now, we pray for each other, and the pastor prays for us, and we saw some examples of prayer. We saw how that Solomon prayed, and David prayed, and Hezekiah prayed, and Elijah prayed. Now, we don't have to look for the Lord in anything else other than the still small voice. In other words, the still small voice, when we pray, we talk to the Lord. Now, He gives us the answer. He talks to us through His Word. And that goes back to the first thing that we discussed, was the church that does not magnify the Word of God is just playing church. We pray. We talk to God in prayer, and He talks to us through His Word. And we need to be in prayer and just tell the Lord what we need and how much we love Him and who He really is. Now, He knows who He is, but He wants to hear it from us. Well, a church that is not directed by the Holy Spirit is playing church. Well, the Holy Spirit is the guide. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be the guide. According to John 16:13, it says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come." Well, now the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, and that's to the saved people, and lets us know how to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He teaches us. He's our guide. He guides us through the Word of God. He's guiding us through this life as saved people. He speaks to us through that still small voice, but when we get into the Word of God, that is really when we get guided by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. Well, the early church was directed by the Holy Spirit. We can't improve upon this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." We're to listen to the Holy Spirit. We're to magnify the Holy Spirit. Why should we magnify the Holy Spirit? Because He is God. And we look back and we study the early church. And one of those early churches that we look at in the Word of God is the church at Antioch. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Well, the people of the early church recognized the importance of listening to the Holy Spirit when making decisions. Many places in the book of Acts, the evidence of the guiding influence of the Holy Spirit for the local church can be seen. And just as we, as individuals, look to the Holy Spirit to guide us and help us make right decisions, we, as a church, as a group of individuals who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we who are the bride of Christ, we who are the called out ones, the church, we need to, as a group, we need to depend upon the Lord and let the Lord be a guiding influence. The Holy Spirit be that guiding influence. Well, something else here. The church that fails to stir up a racket against the work of the devil, well, that church is just playing church. Well, the Word of God never fails to stir up a racket. That's the reason it's so important to stay in the Word of God and proclaim the Word of God. Paul stirred up the devil using the Word of God, according to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19, verses 18 and 19, it says, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." Now, I don't know what that compares to in money today, but it has to be so much more than we would consider $50,000. I mean, it would be millions today. Acts chapter 19 and verse 20, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." This is after people listened to the Lord and did what he wanted them to do. They got rid of the things that that was in the old, you know, the old nature that would bring them back to the flesh. Not that they would lose their salvation, but they would live like they were not saved. It would influence them if they did not get rid of the things that kept them from serving God. Acts 19:20, "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. They did what God wanted them to do, and the word grew." Verse 23 of Acts 19 says, "And the same time there arose no small stir about that way." Well, why was that? Because the word of God stirs up a racket. The word of God gets results. Now, the word of God in Acts chapter 19, 20, is standing on the truth of God will stir up the devil. He'll get mad. And when the people of a local church stand up for the word of God, some within and some without, we'll get stirred up. And some will get stirred up and listen to the leading of God, and some will get stirred up and do the things of the devil. And thank God some will get stirred up and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, not only did Paul stir up things in the book of Acts, but Christ came to stir up people. Luke chapter 12, verses 51 through 53. "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth," this is Christ speaking, "I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." That doesn't mean we're going to be fighting with each other. That means that Christ is the divider. We stand up for him, and things happen. People will see a difference in us, especially our families, and some will turn against us because we've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Do you know him today as your Savior? Have you trusted him? Have you asked him to come into your heart? Well, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if you'll trust him today and say, "Lord, I can't save myself. I've changed my mind. I want to go your way and not my way, because my way is not going to lead me to heaven. It'll lead me to hell. Please come into my heart and save me right now. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.